And welcome back in Stripe Show Podcast on a Tuesday. You know what that means? DFS time. We lob it ahead. Of course, great show yesterday. Appreciate the response on the podcast with Daniel Rappaport breaking all that down. Still a little in shock. Harris English in the Bryson DeChambeau looking like your weekend warriors out there coming in trying to break 40 on Sunday. And Abraham Answer gets his first win, but we're not talking about that anymore. We're going to lob it ahead. It's the Wyndham Championship week. One of my favorite weeks, really. I love this as we get a little bit amped up for the playoffs. We got some names on the line. Names like Ricky Fowler, who is currently sitting at 130th. And how about Matt Kuchar, currently sitting at 124th? There's Adam Scott at 121. My goodness. About those names down there around the cut line to get into the first leg of the playoffs, which will be next week. And to help us break it down here this week, Wyndham Championship, Sedgefield Country Club. He's back. I got him on his lunch break, folks. I won't let him go. Kenny Kim, how you doing, man?
Hey, what's up, Travis? Always fun to be on, ready to talk about this Wyndham Championship. Like, it's a lot to ride on. You got Fleetwood out the outside of the names you talked about. You got Rose outside. So some surprises there.
Wow. Fleetwood and Rose. And that's all right. Rose will just do another commercial and pad that account like Ricky and all that. But anyway, you know, Sedgefield, this is it's a pretty easy course, you know, for these guys. You know, this is a little bit of a run here where we're starting to see a lot of birdies. We certainly saw a ton of birdies at TPC Southwind. That's about as easy as you'll see that course play Thursday through Saturday. I've been there and I was like, damn, this course is not that easy. Soft, no wind. Then things picked up and started to show its teeth, a little firmer, and, you know, Southwind pushed back. Sedgefield, you know, it's right in front of them. You know, it's pretty easy fairways to hit. They're going to get the ball on the green. They're going to have a lot of opportunities here. We've seen guys go well into the 20s under par. Jimmy Herman, you won this thing last year. JT Poston in 19. Sneds blitzed it in 18. And so we look at this course, Kenny. What are, you know, some of the metrics that are you looking at here as guys are going to have to fill it up a little bit here on this Donald Ross design at 7,100 yards?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of 150 to 175, a lot of like 8 par 4s from 400 to 450, you know, short iron wedge play. You know, I mean, it's like you said, the course is basically right in front of you. I guess, you know, like typical Donald Ross courses, the biggest obstacle in the course is probably going to be the greens. Pretty tough putting, you know, a top 10, I think, in hardest putting on tour, like year in, year out for this course. But that's normally a Donald Ross staple that you see, you know, at his courses. So, you know, getting to the greens should be pretty easy. I mean, you got fairways here. I think the green regulation rate when you're on the fairway is 80%. The green regulation rate when you're on the in the rough is 50%. So you know you definitely gotta poke it out there in the fairways. You won't see too many drivers out there with everyone trying a little bit shorter course. Everyone trying to get those fairways so you can hit those greens a little bit easier.
Yeah, I think it's a good point. We saw it last week. We saw Harris English in a lot of three woods. Of course, Bryson, you know, tailoring it back a little bit. Southwind. Tee to green, you can sacrifice maybe a little bit of weakness in the putter, as we saw JT win there. You can't here. You got to make putts here. This is, you know, obviously strokes gained approach weighs out. We know that's always right there is one, but strokes gained putting is 1A where, you know, last week we probably pushed it down a little bit. This week you got to push it up. You know, you got the guys of like JT Poston winning here who can fill it up. Sneds, of course, can fill it up. Reed won here in 13. He can fill it up. Webb. We know he can fill it up. So it's, you got to have the putter along with the ball striking. But I think you make a really good point from the fairway here is certainly going to be a little more of a premium. And I think some of the longer hitters will bring it back down. All right, let's get right into it here. Got the DraftKings loaded up here. This way we do it here in the matchup. We'll go through each salary cap and we'll give us our thoughts here on most all the players, and then our favorite pick from each range. And not a great field here, as a lot of the big names, of course, are going to shut it down for a week before we get into the playoffs. But make no mistake, we've got some great fields coming up, and this is always a fun week as guys try to jockey for position, either A, get into the top 125, or B, move up, right? So you look at these names here in the top range. The first name that comes to mind, Patrick Reed, he's just playing every week at 10,200. Will Zalatoris is at 10,300. He's trying to get a win. You know, he's trying to get into the playoffs. Kokrak's at 10,000. And on your top end, you've got Hideki, the highest ranked at 11,000, played beautiful down the stretch last week. There's Louis. I mean, he's going to try to win this thing. Louis is like, I want to win the FedEx Cup playoffs at 10,700. And then Webb Simpson knows a thing or two about this course, 10,600. And on cue, has his best round, perhaps, of the year, 66, last week at Southwind, which I had him on my lineup in DFS, and it just moved me all the way up to 200. I was like, damn it, I might win this thing. And then, well, you know, there goes Terrell Hatton and Dustin Johnson. But anyway, Kenny, the big names, anybody jump out to you?
I'm going with the biggest name on the board. I mean, okay. The way Hideki has been playing the last couple of weeks through the Olympics, and, you know, yeah, after his major win, there's a little bit of a low, but it looks like he's back up to where he needs to be. Iron game, exceptionally strong. He's looking really good. Yeah. Week in and week out, at least the last few weeks. I think another win is in the horizon. He's probably going to be my favorite play in this range. I'm really not going out on the limb when it comes down to this one. I do like Webb. I'll probably use Webb in cash. But for GPPs, I like Hideki a lot.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. Everybody was making this thing about, you know, Xander and those guys coming back from the Olympics. And, man, they got to be running out of gas. And I'm sure they were. And there's Hideki. He's like, hey, I was over there too. I had the most amount of pressure on me, and here he is sitting in the playoff and should have won that damn thing. I don't know how that ball didn't turn. I mean,
it looked good.
It did look good. I thought it was in. I was sitting there watching my son 3 feet, 4 hours at 10, and just lips out. That's how close it was for Hideki to get the win. But yeah, I agree. When Hideki looks confident with that putter like that, look out. I mean, he looked very confident with the putter. So I'm with you there. Louis, you know, you start lining up the strokes gain approach and strokes gain putting, you know, and you weigh those two out. I'm not sure there's anybody better in the field from Louis. It's almost an absolute guarantee he's going to be in the top 10 the way that he's playing. I think Webb's really interesting. I was texting with his caddy, Paul Tesori, last week, and I said, give me a percent of Webb right now, healthy. And he said 90%. And I think that kind of played out. He labored around a little bit, and then he kind of got it going on the weekend. I think Webb Simpson, Kenny, is an interesting name, not only this week. I mean, we know he absolutely loves this place. How about this run the last 4 years? Third, second, second, third.
Yeah, he got that win about 8-9 years ago, too. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Are you buying stock right now for Webb going into the playoffs?
You know, I was worried about the way he was playing. It felt like something was off. I didn't know about the injury. What injury does he have? Do you know?
And they've been kind of secretive about it. You know, like
I knew something was wrong.
Yeah,
I just did because of the way he's been playing. Because he hasn't been quite himself, and with a little bit of an injury, aspect, it makes sense. But 90%, if he keeps on getting better, I mean, you know, Webb has been one of the, you know, a really good player for the last 3 years. Ever since that Players Win, 2018, he's got a couple of wins since then, a bunch of top fives, a bunch of top tens. He's been a top 20 player in the world since then. If he's healthy, I mean, and it was really an injury that was bothering him, he could make some noise coming up in playoffs.
Yeah, it just feels nice round. Made a silly bogey on the par three putter from 21 feet on the back nine. But they just hit a lot of great shots. It was really kind of the first time it looked like Webb Simpson, you know, I mean, on Sunday last week. So I'm buying stock for Webb heading into the playoffs. I think he'll certainly be there. I think of the top three, you know, obviously it's difficult to move away from Hideki the way he's playing, Louis the way he's playing. I think all systems go. I think Webb's right there with them. Will, showing some signs, made some putts last week, took a month off. It was nice to see him bounce back. There's Patrick Reed. Do you ever get concerned when players play every week? Reed, last minute, went to the Olympics, didn't look good last week. Here he is again playing this week. He's going to be in the playoffs. Do you ever get concerned when these guys just never take any time off?
It's definitely something to think about. They usually play like 7-8 weeks in a row, been all over the world You would think that, you know, it might catch up with him at some point in time, but he's got a lot to play for too. I mean, he's no shoo-in for the Ryder Cup after what happened last year. He wants to make that team in the first six be a lot easier and have Stricker come and pick him as a captain's choice, which I think will happen, but you never know, especially how the Ryder Cup ended last time. So I think that's one of the reasons why he's playing so much. Mm-hmm. Also, I think he's eighth, ninth in the standings. He needs to make a little bit of a jump, a high place to do it. So I think that's why he's playing so much.
Yeah. Yeah. He's interesting here. Patrick Reed, top 10 last year, T22 back in 2019. Kokrak down there. I like Kokrak here at 10,000. He's played well, a couple top 20s, top 15s actually the last 2 years. And when you talk about having to fill it up with a putter, the dude pretty much taught himself how to putt. I mean, I got to tell you, like he put a little extra length on his putter and all of a sudden Jason Kokrak's like one of the best putters in the world. And he's pretty darn good off the tee. He's pretty darn good in the approach game. He's won twice. I think in this top shelf here of all these names, I'll lead off a little bit with Hideki at 11,000. I'm probably going to lead off with Webb a little bit. But I think in a couple as well, I'll lead off with Kokrak. I'll give you Kokrak as my guy here in the matchup. And you going to take Matsuyama?
Yeah. I'm not going to go shocking on this one. Yeah. But I mean, hey, Kokrak's, you know, when it comes to DFS, I mean, he's probably going to be the lowest owned of the group, maybe him and Reed. I'm not sure. But I mean, you know, it could make a good play.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Let's move down to 9,000. Some interesting names here. Brian Harman's getting a lot of respect here. At 9,900, he's played pretty well here. He had a T6 back in 19. Where we are here. There's Tommy. Okay. Fleetwood. Yeah. There's Fleetwood again, man. People just love Fleetwood. 9,700. Sun JM, flip your coin. What are you going to get there at 96? The time for Russell to get back on the horse at 94. There's Matthew Wolf, 9,300. Good to see him back out there playing. Adam Scott, just on the inside at 92. Former champ Siwoo Kim, 9,100. Bubba, interesting name, at 9,000. Everybody loves Tommy. You know, he's a guy that has his short game. His short game has been pretty good, but I think he's kind of overstated a little bit with his ball striking. I ran some models here that I'm looking at. Strokes gained approach last 50 rounds in this field. You look at Fleetwood, he's 103rd. Off the tee, he's 93rd. I mean, he's not even in the top half of the field when it comes to ball striking in the last 50 rounds. Short game, 27th. I've kind of moved that down this week. I don't have a ton of value in that. And then around the green, he's, let's see here, he's 12th and then 50th in putting. So 97 feels a little bit high for me when it comes to Fleetwood. Harman, you know you're going to get the putter. You know you're going to get the short game. The question is, are you going to get enough in the approach game? I think you look at Harman here. He's done okay. I think he's an interesting play. And then Henley, last 50 rounds, Kenny, strokes gained approach. He's first in the last 50 rounds when it comes to strokes gained approach. That's a big number. Off the tee, not as impressive. Putting 51st. This seems like a good track for Russell, doesn't it, Russell Henley?
I do like Russell. I mean, the iron game's so strong here. Really good on the par fours, really good from 150 to 175. And you're looking at the majority of approaches coming from that range. So I do like Russell. He's actually one of my cash game cornerstones this week for double ups and 50-50s and stuff like that. So I do like Russell a lot for those type of tournaments.
Siwoo's coming in there, low 9,000s. Hasn't played well the last three events. Missed the cut at the Travelers, 58th at the Rocket, 65th at WGC. His putting has been basically comparable to like an 8 handicap. I mean, he is not putting well. And I'm not even sure if this is a typo that I'm looking at. He lost 16.8 strokes approach at WGC. That's not even possible, is it?
I mean, he had that 13, right? He broke the record for the worst score on a par three ever. So when you go 10 over par in a single hole, and you hit the water like 7 times, you're probably going to lose 16 strokes on your approaches. That sounds reasonable. I think. I mean, if you saw the Instagram picture with him and Kevin Na, who flew home together, I mean, Na holds the record for the worst score on a par four. With that, I think it was a Valspar, a Valero, when he hit into the trees and got like a 16. And now Siwoo holds the record for the worst score on a par three. So the Koreans really doing their thing right there. Koreans coming up strong in those situations.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, it's one of those things, right? That you're willing to overlook that. But Siwoo hasn't played good, but he's coming back to a place that he clearly likes. I mean, this is, he's won here, and just in the last 2 years, he was T3 in 20 and fifth in 19. That's an interesting name, 9100, probably appropriately placed. Is there anyone else here in the 9000s? Adam Scott, is he does he play with some desperation here, wanting to move on? Does that interest you, or are you going to flip the coin with Sungjae?
I mean, Scott is interesting because if you look at the tournaments he's played this year after the Sony, I think they've all been like top 15 toughest courses on tour, you know? And now he's playing a course that's predominantly in one of the easiest courses on tour. You don't really see him play easy courses. So, I mean, I think his ownership is going to be down. I think he's worth a look at a course like this because, I mean, the courses he plays are the major courses, Riviera, Genesis, Memorial, the Players. You know, he plays all those tournaments where the courses are so difficult, usually in the top 20 most difficult courses on tour. Now he's going to the bottom half. Maybe he can make a run. Maybe he can do something. We'll see. You know the talent's there. You know he's got one of the sweetest swings out there. So I think it might be move people to use him, at lower ownership in tournaments.
What's held him back is really his ball striking, in particular his driver. He's not driven the ball well this year at all. His putter has actually been his strength. Now, say that out loud.
Yeah.
The strength of Adam Scott has been his putter. but his driver has been a little erratic when you look at it. He's not getting himself in position. His approach game, not great. His best was at the Honda, which feels like 3 years ago. You make an interesting point on the easier course here. You know, he has played predominantly the more difficult golf courses. I think for Adam Scott to be relevant here, which is his first time playing here, at least in a while, he's got to get that ball striking going. And that driver concerns me, to your point of getting the ball in play. I tell you, I'm probably going to kind of fade the top part of the 9000s in Harmon, Fleetwood, and M. I'll bounce back here with a little Siwoo Kim. And I think Russell Henley is really interesting. I really do. I think Henley is probably going to be my pick here in the 9000s. I'm going to take him from you.
No, that's fine. I sort of have a feeling on somebody else, and you sort of glanced over him.
Okay.
I think it could be Tommy's time.
Okay.
You saw Answer get that win last week. He showed glimpses during the Olympics. You see glimpses of him doing pretty well, one or two rounds, an event. The Tommy Sundays usually aren't the best, and it's usually when he folds. But I've seen a little bit from his game. Maybe it's better on more of a correct track from where he was maybe a couple of years ago. And with a weaker field like the one we have now, I give him a little bit of chance. Again, a reduced ownership. I don't know how many people are going to pay him at $9,500. So I like Tommy for tournaments a lot.
Okay.
He's probably going to be my play.
All right. Yeah, fair enough. And I'll throw Henley in there. He didn't play good at the Open Championship. We haven't seen him since. So it's been close to a month since we've seen Russell. I had a win ticket. I went at the Travelers. The tournament fell his way. There he is, one back with four to play, and he goes double-double. Like, had a couple of those moments this year. Like, what in the hell just happened there? Like, not just bogeys, but like doubles and crazy. So anyway, I'll get back on Henley. Ball striking machine. Putting has been okay, just above tour average. And, top 10 last year at Sedgefield. So there you have it in the 9000s.
Let's take a second to talk about the guys and girls over at Encore Golf. Encore has earned a reputation of having the most cutting-edge technology in their golf balls that the industry has seen in quite some time. Their team in Buffalo, New York is changing the script of golf technology through the perimeter weighting designs, use of high density particles, and even a nano transitional layer in their latest creation, which offers players enhanced accuracy and control for every shot on the course and extreme velocity off the tee. They already have their award-winning Elixir and Avant 55 golf balls, but the new Vero X1 is their highest performance ball to date. And with their full suit of golf balls, they are transforming the game for players of all skill sets. Visit encoregolf.com/Travis Fulton for more details about their products that are revolutionizing the game. Now back to the Stripe Show podcast.
Moving on, 8,000. The big hitting lefty, Robert McIntyre, 8,900. Kevin Na, interesting player here at 88. Gary Woodland, a guy that I've sprinkled a little on to win at 87. Fowler, can he get inside the top 125 at 86? Seamus Power, 85. Sign me up. Kisner, 84. Kevin Streelman, sign me up. 8,300. Munoz, 82. Schwartzel, sign me up. 81. Justin Rose, you can have him at 8,000. EVR, coming off the win. The Barracuda, 8,000. Take me somewhere, Kenny Kim.
I mean, the three guys that stick out to me are two guys, are Charles and Kisner. Charles is my favorite play in this range. I'm just going to go ahead and put that in right now. I do like him. He's coming off the top five finish here recently. He's making a ton of cuts. Yeah. I think he's playing some of his better golf that he has. In the last couple of years, you really saw a downswing from him for the last few years. But it looks like it's coming back up. Just looking at his iron games improving, tee to green has really improved. Par four scoring, very, very solid. So I like Charles a lot. He'll be my favorite play. Kisner makes sense. And I'm on board with Ricky this week. Last time out, you saw a little bit of a glimpse. For maybe two and three quarter rounds, he was on top of that leaderboard before his collapse. But you really saw good play from him in that time. It wasn't just all putter. His iron game was looking good. His off the tee game was looking good. So there was that glimpse there for him. And let's see if he could put four rounds together.
I agree with all that. Everything you just said is like right here on my pad, basically. It's like you just read it off my pad. Totally agree with all that. I think Ricky's in for this week. You know, Seamus Power hasn't finished outside the top 20 since May 16th.
He looks good. That win was nice a couple weeks ago.
He is playing some golf, this guy. And, of course, got his win at the Barbasol, right? We know that. That was the last time we saw him. Speaking of meltdowns, right? We've seen some meltdowns here. JT Poston that week.
Oh, yeah. Seamus
gets in. We've seen some guys melt late on Sunday, and we saw it again last week. I love Seamus. I have for a while. I think he's very, very solid player. Wonderful putter. Approach game has really gotten better this year. I mean, you want to talk about most improved approach game? You got to put Seamus Power in that conversation. His short game is solid. His driver can get a little clunky, but he's driven the ball very well as of late. So I am all in on Mr. Seamus Power. I'm all in on Fowler. I am going to play Woodland some this week. Woodland's just an interesting player and guy to me. You know, he's such a good dude, and he seems to like bounce around a little bit with coaches, and I think it kind of sets him back a little. But I'm going to go in. This is the first time Woodland's played here in quite some time. He's trying to improve his status. I think he's a guy that can go here as well. Kevin Na, I think, is another interesting name. You have any interest in him? He hasn't been here in 3 years, but when he was, Kevin Na was T4 in 17 and T10 in 16. Could this be another like hot hand for Kevin Na, and all of a sudden he's up three with four to play?
The thing about Na is you never know when he can come on. I mean, what does he have, like four or five wins in the last 4 years? I think a win a year. And the thing is, his form doesn't have to be good for him to win. That's why it's sort of scary fading him in DFS, because you just never know about his game. He can just play so poorly. And then all of a sudden just turn it on for one tournament and get out there. That putter gets hot. He walks him in. I'm not specifically sure if I'm going to use him this week. He's on the list. But you can't play everybody when it comes down to it, you know? Yep. So we'll have to see where it goes. I'm playing Fowler. So we'll see how it goes. It's possible though, because I always like rostering Kevin now because the win equity is so high for him usually, that's just the way I think about him.
So in the 8,000s, Fowler is going to be on your card. And Kisner a little bit as well.
Yep.
Okay.
And then Charles, and my favorite. Yep, Schwartzel's the fave.
So Schwartzel was the guy. You're going to give me Schwartzel here out of the 8,000s. I like that.
Yep, yep.
Got to be, I'm sure, a little hangover here for EVR. Tough after you win. Rose is not interested in playing professional golf right now, if you ask me. You know, I think in my power, I'll give you, be playing a little of him. And I think I'll go Fowler as well. So I'll give you Sheamus as my guy. As solid the top pick. Guy here in the 8,000s. All right. Good stuff. Moving on to sevens. Go one by one now. So I'll give you a name. Just stop me. Anytime I get to a name, you like them, just say, one of my guys. Starting at 79, former champion, two-time champion, I believe, actually. Brant Snedeker, 7,900. Mito Pereira, 7,900.
I'll stop you there. Okay. I mean, the young Chilean looks like he can ball. Yeah. Again, another guy sort of like Patrick Reed is doing a world tour. A little bit worried, but he's a little bit younger, a little bit more in shape. Than Patrick Reed, could be a little bit easier for him. I like the way he's been playing. I mean, you know, three wins on the Korn Ferry Tour is not easy. It's not like those guys are scrubs. The only issue is hopefully he doesn't, you know, turn out like the last guy who did, Wesley Bryan, who's sort of falling apart. But I like Mito. Not my favorite playing the range, but I like him.
Yeah. Fifth at Barbasol, sixth at 3M. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's pretty heady stuff. You know, I mean, not the best fields in the world, but.
Hey. I mean, in the playoff in the Olympics.
In the playoff in the Olympics. Thank you. Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he can ball. Yeah, he's going to be fun. He's going to be fun. Mito at 70. Now, I like that. Johnny Vegas, 78. I mean, strokes gained, ball striking. He's first, last 24 rounds. Tee to green, he's third. I mean, this dude can. Johnny Vegas is one of the most underrated ball strikers on the PGA Tour. The dude doesn't get enough credit.
You worry about his form here?
Yeah.
I think he's like 5 missed cuts in 6 events or something like that. Not great, but I think I might still have to use him because of the way he's playing.
Yeah, he's playing great. He's really hitting it well. Yeah, it's good. He hasn't played good here at all.
Not once.
Mm-mm. 7,800. JT Poston. A little slap in the face, perhaps. All right? He's won here. Almost won a couple weeks ago, we just talked about. Great putter. You wait for the ball striking. You know, it's like, it's so many times you have the conversation, great ball striker, can he have a great putting week? Poston, kind of the other way around. Great putter, good short game, can he have a great ball striking week? Gooch, 77.
I like Gooch. Iron Game's looking real good here recently. Last 50, he's been real strong with his irons. I like Taylor a lot this week.
Glover's at 77. I whiffed on him last week. Something happened to Glover last week. I don't know. I was probably going to pass on him. Kazire, 76. Approach game's been better. You know, he can putt. He's an interesting name. Patton Kazire, 76. Lebioto seems like a good place for him at 76.
Yeah, I like him.
You got to sign up for the continued great play here.
Yeah, I'll go Hank to Tank. I don't like Kazire. I like both of them also. They're going to make my list. Not my favorites. My favorite's coming up here soon.
Okay.
But, you know, Kazire makes a ton of birdies. He's been birdie machine.
Is your favorite HV3?
No.
Okay. No. HV3 is at 75. Mackenzie Hughes is at 76. Zach Johnson, 75. Ryan Moore, he's won here, 75.
He's been playing better.
Brandon Grace, 74. The hell happened to Lanto Griffin, 7,400.
He started off the season real strong.
Yeah,
struggling a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Lanto, a little deeper dive here for a second.
He grew T57. T57
back in 18.
Yep.
Lebioto, he's made the cut here a couple times, coming in a different player. Patton, he usually makes the cut. Of course, Ryan Moore has won T6 back in 2018. So, yeah, a lot of, for me there. I'll probably keep going. I'm with you. I like Mito, and I like Gooch. Those are the two that I've had circled thus far. Continuing on, Chez,
there 74. He is. There's my guy.
That's your guy?
Week. Okay. That's my guy this week. Just the iron play has been so exceptional in his probably last 8 to 10 starts. It's been so strong. He's really good. From 150 to 175, hits a ton of fairways. Everything I'm looking for this week on this course, he fits that profile. I like his price. Chez is my favorite play for tournaments in this range.
He was 11th at the 3M, had a top 10 at the John Deere, or top 20 at the John Deere. Can you get that good putting week from Chez? Can you just give me some fire, Chez, with that putter? There he is, 74. CT Pon is 74, the bronze medalist. A good course for him, not too long. Doug Gim.
He came runner up the Sneds a couple years ago, if I'm not mistaken, yeah. CT Pan.
He did, yeah, back in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Made the cut last year, T69. Seems like a good place for CT. I think I'll play him a little, 74. Doug Gim, 73. Doug Gim, ever going to figure out that putter, you think? Ever?
I don't know, man. His ball striking is great, but that putter is so bad. It looks like me when I putt. And we have the same last name. We do have the same last name. Gim is, there's no hard K in Korean. So Kim and Gim, same name in Korean.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, gotta be frustrating then. I mean, just to know that you're one of the world-class ball strikers and you cannot even sniff it with the putter to play with these guys. I mean, don't get me wrong, but like he knows he's holding himself back in such a huge way because he's got the most important part figured out, which is hitting it. You got to win in the approach game, and he does. And if he's just average at all, like he's first, he's up there with the putter. Got to be frustrating. Adam Shank, 73.
I like
beautiful
Shank.
Last week.
I like Shank.
You like Shank here?
I do.
Yeah.
He's had a couple of close calls. What was he, 54-hole leader last week?
He was, mm-hmm. Yep, I like Shank too. I think Shank's a little bit of an underrated ball striker. I think he's in that, certainly that upper echelon here coming in when it comes into the approach game. And I think his putter is in the upper echelon as well. Yeah, I think Shank's is a bit of a sleeper there at 7,300. Rogers is probably the better putter of Shank, but doesn't hit it anywhere near as good as Shank. Rogers, beautiful swing, but strokes and approach always struggles. It's fascinating for me with Rogers, how good of a golf swing he has, but yet lives at the bottom of strokes and approach. Sabatini, bronze medalist. Want any part of that? 73.
He's got to be confident going in there. I don't know if I'm going to roster him, but he's got to be confident.
I'll roster Kirk at 72.
Yeah, I can see this is the Chris Kirk course. Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah, I'll play Kirk. Give me some Kirk. Give me some Shank down here at the bottom. Joel Damon, 72. Playing some good golf.
He heard me on Sunday this past week at the Barracuda. I thought he could pull it off.
He hurt you.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's tough to come back from that, isn't it? Like you just get like, okay, I'm gonna rest on him. Then he opens with 65, right? There's Heggy.
So what I did, I had like all the five top five guys in the WGC, and I doubled them with Dahman. And so I had answer, but I didn't get the Dahman part. And it was just a dumb, silly bet just to get some more juice on Sunday, but it didn't work out.
Going back to the previous here, Kirk had a top 20 here back in 2018. Sabatini's had two top 10s here in the last 4 years.
Yeah. Like I said, he's going to be confident.
Yeah. Give you a lot to think about here on the matchup. Sabatini playing well, likes this place. Okay. I still think I like Shank more than Sabatini. All right, here we go. There's Brendan Haggy. Yeah. Dylan Fratelli. Yeah. 72. Luke List. Do enough with the putter? Luke List get at the 20, 21 under?
He can.
Huh?
Luke can. He's got that skill.
Yeah.
But it just comes down to the putter with him. And, you know, I mean, the talent level is so sky high with Luke List.
Yeah, he's long and he's a good iron player. Real quick here on Luke. Let's into a bit of a deep dive here. Hadn't played well here. Missed the cut a couple times. He made it last year at T66. Putter's just kind of, it's feast or famine. I mean, you'll go from -4, -3 to +2 and, you know, but he kind of lives when he lives in that -3, -4 range. And that's not going to get it done here. Bo Hogue, good ball striker. Brendan Todd, great putter. Todd's interesting here, isn't he?
He hits a ton of fairways. That's for sure. And that's what you need. My co-host Tyler on the Fantasy Golf Agenda Pod, he talked him up a little bit. I'm not sure if I can get on board.
Yeah. I'll probably wait on that as well. Keith Mitchell, he'll hit the fairway for you. Strokes gained off the tee, last 50 rounds, he's third. Then he's 111th in approach. Sepp Straka, 71. I'll give you Ryan Armour at 7.
Yeah, I like him.
I like Ryan Armour a lot here.
Yeah, the 7, short 000. Par 70 courses seem like his thing.
Yeah.
Him and Brian Stewart, who I like when we get down to the 6K range, it's sort of like their jam. Brian Stewart, Armour, and Garnett. Short par 70 courses.
Those are your guys. Okay.
Those are the guys on the short par 70s.
Mm-hmm. I like what I'm seeing with Ryan Armour. I'm definitely playing him a decent amount here in the sevens. Aaron Wise at the 7. Off the tee, check. Approach, check. One of the worst putters in the field.
Check. Horrible. Horrible.
Mark Hubbard, 7,000. I could play
he
Mark.
He had a little run earlier in the season. I don't know if I can jump back on quite yet, though.
I can play Mark here. I think Hubbard is coming to a place that he likes. T15 last year. T24 and 17. A couple top 25 finishes the last two times. Sign me up for Mark Hubbard, folks. Kyle Stanley. Only putter worse than Aaron Wise is Kyle Stanley, folks.
I know. It's true, man. It's true. I feel like I could beat those guys on the putt-off. And I'm like the worst putter known to man. So, they're horrible.
Yeah, you got to it's tough to – you got to have a sniff here, right, with your putter. I mean, you know, Doc's interesting. I think our standard Doc would be good here at 7,000, wouldn't he?
Yeah. I mean, you know, he was sort of like the darling kind of end of the year. I don't think he's had as good a season as people expected him to. Maybe he can end it strong.
Yeah, you know, it's like, can you get ahead of that, right? I think that's a fair point because these guys will turn it. Like, I mean, it's a long season. There's going to be – golf is ups and downs. You're just not going to stay – peak performance all the way. And it's like, can you get out in front with the web last week with that run? And now here he comes and things start to turn around a little bit. Doc Redman finished tied for third last year. So I take a little deeper look at him as well. So those are some names in the sevens. Like to go through there because you got to win in this area. And there's some yay and nay from Kenny and I. All right, 6,000. We'll give you two names each. Kenny, you go first in the 6,000. Give me a name you like.
I think I already went over him. I like Stewart, Brian Stewart a lot. Short par 70 courses sort of seems like his jam. So I do like Stewart in that situation. Let me pull him up here real quick. You know, again, a ton of fairways and good, really good on those shorter par fours. One of the best on this field from 400 to 450 yards. And he has a ton of fairways. If you can get that iron game going a little bit, I like him at this cheap price.
Ryan Stewart, short par 70s. That's his guy. The other like two were Mark Hubbard and
no, it was Armour and Garnett.
Or Armour and Garnett. Yeah, yeah. I threw Hubbard in there as a player to like. You need someone to make the cut, folks. Need someone to make the cut here. I've kind of changed my as I'm looking here. I'm kind of I had one down and now I'm questioning my. Because I usually err the other way, but I'm going to go to a guy that's played Sedgefield pretty well over the years. And that is Denny McCarthy at 6,400. I'm going to lean on the putter a little bit here and see if we can get the approach game. You know, he's come here and he seems to hit the ball better here. So I think when I see that, you know, guys that maybe don't excel as much overall in the ball striker, he certainly gives up distance. But you can see an uptick here in certain courses. So sight lines, things match up for him. I'll give you McCarthy at 64 and ride the putter to make a cut. And how about a T24? How's that sound? T24.
He'd probably be happy with that the way he's been playing recently.
I mean, he was T9 here last year. Mm-hmm. And he was T22 the year before. So yeah. Horses for courses, Danny McCarthy. Who else you got? Give me one more name.
I like Roger Sloan. I like the Canadian. In this field, he has, I'm not really into the, you know, bubble boy, FedEx Cup, the, you know, narrative, but, you know, he's on that list. But, you know, iron game, you know, well above average, good on shorter par fours. You know, he's been a little bit up and down, but he still makes a fair amount of cuts. So I like the Canadian Roger Sloan a little bit.
A lot of models like Roger Sloan, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
A name that kind of spits out. All right, I'll give you 6,200 all the way down to Chris Baker.
Okay, birdie maker.
Yep, he makes a lot of birdies. Kind of un-Chris Baker-like. His putter hasn't been as good in July. So we turned the corner to August here, and great putters are going to turn around. And why not? Back to a course that he likes. Top 20 last year. Chris Baker, 6,200. Sign me up. So I kind of went to the Sedgefield guys, leaning on the putter a bit, which is a little unlike me. And but guys that that tend to hit it better here overall. So Chris, Southern guy.
Makes sense for this course.
Fast Bermuda greens, smooth. I think that's the kind of place he liked. Kenny, you're the best, man. This is good. Touched a lot of names. Wyndham Championship. Ricky Fowler makes it into the top 125. What do you think?
I'm with you. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I do too.
I think top 10. I bet him at, 55-1?
To top 10?
To win.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, yeah. To win. Can't. 55-1, top 10. 55.
I think everyone.
If Ricky Fowler wins this, what a send-off into the playoffs. I mean,
yep.
The tour would be great. All right, man. Best of luck. Let's get these boys to the finish line, and I'll let you go back to your day job now and have your 5-minute lunch break that you've just given me 45.
Thanks. Okay, thanks. Buddy. I appreciate it. All right. All right. Bye-bye.